Not my message for the morning. For the message this morning, I'm going to start out by asking a little question here. I'm going to pull some objects out here, and I want you to think about what these objects have in common. And so the first one I have, I think you know what it is. It's a pair of scissors. Okay, so you think about that. What all a pair of scissors is, what all you can do with the scissors. Think you know what that is? Knife, sharp, we use it. And so there's two objects. We can pretty much pull up some things that happen with those two objects. That's pretty easy. There's some properties about them that is very much the same. The third object I have is that. Now you all know what that is, right? I use it when I cut a tree down. If it's leaning the wrong way, I'll put that in there and tap it in there. What do those three objects have in common? I could say they're sharp until we get to the wedge. Now, I know some wedges are sharp. I wish I had a steel one. Then it would probably be sharper. But this one's not sharp. That's not the illustration I want to bring out. You can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. There's something that each of these objects do that I want to think about this morning. Romans chapter 8. Let's start reading in the last part of this passage where I want to read from, but let's read verse 31. Start in there. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you figured out what it is? Each of these items cause separation. You take a scissors and you put paper in there. And I don't have an extra piece of paper, otherwise I could cut my notes up and then preaching would be shorter. But you take a piece of paper and you cut it. And what happens? A piece of paper's not whole anymore. It's in two pieces or however many pieces you make it. You take a knife and you cut something with it. And it's in two pieces or more. There's separation that has happened. You take the wedge and you drive it in a tree. There's separation happened. And the further in you drive this wedge, the further apart that comes. We find this in Romans chapter 8. Verse 35 is where I want to think about especially. You know, verse 34, as we think about what we've came through, I mentioned it in Sunday school class again, but as Christ died, his resurrection again, we're so thankful for that. But Paul goes on, and who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's us if we claim the new birth experience. That's us. As we have lived our lives for Christ and we've come to Christ, our conscience has pricked us, we've came to him, and we're serving Christ, we're striving for heaven. That's us. Who is going to do it? You look about, and Paul does it in this passage, he looks about, who's going to separate us? And he lists a number of things. We know it's the love of Christ that draws us to him. Satan does all he can to stop people from making the choice to follow God. But I find also in this passage, God stopped at nothing to bring us salvation. He gave of his Son. He was willing to give of his only begotten Son. And so God gave much to draw us to him. And so man, as he desires to be part of Christ, makes him willing to cross many obstacles and hurdles. We are part of and we experience the love of Christ that he has for us. And it's part of us. But the question still remains, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And that's a personal experience for each and every one of us, you and I. What is it going to take to separate me from God? Well, we know the love of Christ is beyond. It's there. It's there for us. But we can put ourselves at enmity with God, and we no longer experience that love. So we know there's a way it can happen. The love is there. It doesn't change. Well, there's only one thing. I only listed one thing. I think it's all compiled into this. One thing that is able to separate us from the love of God. That's a choice of my own self. It's an inward choice. The choices we make in daily lives, it's all part of this. What are we going to take to drive a wedge in between our relationship with the Lord? What are we going to take to separate us, to cut us off? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? It's a thought for each and every one of us to ponder. The choices we make. I thought of Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25. We're not going to take the time. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And here's what it is, his choice in life, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. As he thought about a relationship with the Lord, there's nothing going to stand between him, even being part of the kingship. Or the pleasures of sin, but that are but for a season. We need to remember that part of it. That what the pleasures that we have here are but a short time. We could turn to Luke chapter 15 and look at the prodigal son. It was a choice of that son to walk away. We too today are making choices. Where we're going to be. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And that's what I've titled my message for those of you taking notes. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I have five things that I wrote down that we can look at. And there's more. There's way more than what I have here. But it's just, as I was studying for this, it's some five things that came to me. Of ways I can wedge myself away and drive myself away and separate myself from God. There's five things I'd like to think about, and there's more, and maybe I don't even have the most important one. If I don't, tell me afterwards, and I'd be glad to hear that. But as I think about my own life and what can drive me away from God, and the first one I have is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will drive me away from God. It'll drive that wedge in my relationship with the Lord, and I can no longer have a relationship with him. We pray the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, if I can't forgive somebody else, those about me, how can I expect God to forgive me? And when God don't forgive me, I drive this wedge in just a little further. and there's separation happening. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If my heart's not right. Hebrews 12:15 talks about a root of bitterness that springs up. If I hold bitterness in my heart, goes right along with unforgiveness. It's a ways of driving a wedge in. Well, unforgiveness affects relationships. And that can even come into pretty close home to us. How do we relate to those about us? Let's go to the second part, second thought I have of what can separate us. And I had to think about a lack of love. Lack of love. Lack of love for God, most of all, because that's usually where, when we struggle this way with our fellow men, oftentimes we forget God's love for us and what He did for us and how much of a sinner we are, because we start lifting ourselves up because we are somebody which we are not, but a lack of love. And when we have a lack of love to see what God's love for us and how it should flow out to our fellow men, you see, when I don't have love for my fellow men as I ought to, it drives the wedge in my relationship with the Lord. That can take place in many ways. And we can show that in many different ways. Whether it is in the way I respond to my fellow men. Maybe it's what I don't say to my fellow men. Maybe it's what I do say to my fellow men. But you see, it's a lack of love. A love for our fellow men. It's going to cover that obstacle. And we're going to realize that there needs to be love flowing. And when the love is flowing, we pull the wedge out between our relationship with the Lord. And we can have a good relationship with Him because He's the creator of love. He's who we look to. To see the illustration of love. The third one I have is disobedience to God. We read God's word. We make application to God's word. We strive to live out God's word. He tells us what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And when we decide to be disobedient to God and His word and what He has for us, when we take that choice, we drive a wedge in. It goes beyond that. You say, well, think of we won't go there on that illustration. It doesn't fit together. Disobedience to God. I also thought about it of disobedience to the authority God has placed in my life. Again, as I ponder where God has made me more of a servant to the congregation here at Cornerstone, this thought makes me shudder. But each and every one of us have authorities in our lives. I think about the first authority that comes into a child's life, and that is their parents. It's placed there. And you can, as you come up through life, your parents strive to teach you respect for their authority, listen to their authority. But as you come to the age, you make the choice of whether you're going to listen or not to that authority that God has placed in your life. And it goes on. Often if you don't catch it there, then it's the church authority, and you can list it. Does the church have any authority in my life? Well, it should. Not saying for just to the leaders, but the church. The church has a place that it, as a group comes together, that we work together. And when one is disobedient and doesn't want to be part of that and wants to do their own thing, yes, we sever relationships here, but it also drives a relationship between, drives a wedge in the relationship between us and God. The fourth one I have is discouragement. Discouragement, one of the tools that Satan uses to make us give up. Make us get so muddled. How can we even make it through this time? And we forget even the promises that are there. And so in times of discouragement, if we don't rise above it and realize what verse 37 holds out to us, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. No matter what the trials are in life, no matter what comes our way, we can overcome. Discouragement can start the wedge into our lives. And we lose our relationship with God. It starts to drive us away. May God help us to pull out those wedges and to realize that we serve a great God that we discussed in Sunday school this morning, one that is all powerful. The fifth one I have is pride. Pride. You know, humility is something we all desire. But I find in my own life that pride so many times can start slipping in. Because pride says it's all about me, myself. And that in turn hurts relationships with our fellow men. It hurts relationship with God. Because God hates pride. And so, as we think of lifting up of myself in pride, it's a wedge that can come into our relationship with the Lord. May God help us to pull the wedge out on that as well. Now, for the rest of the message here, I like to think about verse 38. And you just ponder these things that we shared about who shall separate us from the love of Christ. And we should be able to say, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. There's nothing in my choices in life. I'm focused on serving God. Let's read verse 38 again. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I'd like to, as I ponder this part of the message, I am persuaded. You see, when you're persuaded about something, you're sure of it. You're convinced of it. How persuaded are you and I in Christ? How's your relationship with Christ? Do you feel convinced and sure of it? We're little Christ. We're living out the Christian life. I think about little boys. I'm going to pick on you this morning. I remember when I was little, the arguments, the disputes, whatever you want to call it, about Ford, Chevy, Dodge. And there was even a Toyota person when I was growing up. You know, the disputes that can go into it, and each and every one of them is convinced of it. Maybe it's John Deere, Case, whatever you want to put there. Whichever they say is best, and they will go to great pains. We went to great pains to try to convince the other one that what we thought was best. We didn't all come to the same agreement at the end. But I think I can go back to every one of my school students and we love each other. We can get along with each other, even in those disagreements. And so that should be maybe just a little side note on how the relationship in the church should work. Sometimes there's disagreements, different thinking, but it's okay. We work together. We love. We are bound together in serving God. The other thing I like to think about is I think about, for I am persuaded and convinced. When you're convinced about something, it's what you talked about. As a young boy, when we got together and there was need for discussion, we talked about it because we're going to try to convince it. I question us today, how persuaded am I today in Christ? Because sometimes I can find that I don't talk about it as I ought to. How persuaded am I today in the love of God? Well, I'd like to, in this part, as I think about being persuaded, I'd like to just think about Paul and what he wrote about. I'm persuaded. Paul was persuaded, and we need to be persuaded today. And he lists a list of things that shall never be able to separate us from the love of God. Again, we said it was a choice that you make that separates you, but we just want to look at this list. Are you persuaded enough that you can look at this list and I will not let any one of them derail me? Paul looked at a list of things, or we can say this entire universe, and it concluded that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And so I'd like to look at this. Death. Brother Delbert made a good analogy of the COVID that we can think about of it. But how fearful do you get of it? You okay if God took you out of the world today? There's nothing. God is so unchanging. He's been unchanging in the past. It's not going to change after I die. His promises are there for me. We know God doesn't change. We like to say that. But sometimes when trials come, it can shake us. None of us probably would look forward to the thought of death. There's enough of a desire to live within each and every one of us. That's what we want. But that shouldn't shake us, even if we think about it, that maybe I might have an accident. I know where I'm at. Life. There's nothing in life that's going to separate us. Well, that gets pretty broad, right? Well, life itself has no power to separate you and I. Has no power to drive that wedge in there. Again, I just want to highlight, it's a choice. You make the choice of whether your life's experience is going to drive a wedge between you and God or not. Think about the angels that Paul talks about. The angels have no power to separate us. Principalities, there is nothing governments can do to separate us. And you think about the martyrs, those that have died for their faith. They can bring torture. They can bring death. But they can't separate you from the love of God. And when those martyrs faced that, it was only a choice of theirs who they're going to serve. Powers. There's nothing Satan can do as we think of the powers of the spirit world. There's nothing Satan can do other than tempt you. Again, it's a choice. It comes back to you and I. Are we going to be victorious? What about things present? There's nothing. Nothing present day. What about things to come? Oh, we worry about the future, or do we? There's nothing. God's going to be there in the future too. Whatever time he gives to you. We were in that airplane. We went up I think it was 29,000 feet, that one flight. It's higher than I've flown for a while. There's nothing in space. There's nothing up there that's going can separate us from the love of Christ. What about the depth? The ground. Below the ground. It can shake us. We can have an earthquake. It can be fearful. Go as deep as you want. There's nothing. It's a choice again. Paul sums this up. Or any other creature. To me, it looks like, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but as I see him come on, or any other creature, it just covers the whole focus. There is nothing. Well, again, I want to just go back and highlight at the close of this message. It is a choice you and I make. We choose who we are going to serve. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You make the choice whether you're going to be part of it, you're going to apply it to your lives. You make the choice of whether you're going to continue to follow God or whether you're going to let something drive between you and Him. May God help us as we go through life to be those type of people that we know who we're serving, we're convinced that we're on the right path, and we are going to make it to heaven, because there's nothing that can separate us when we're focused, when our choices and our focus are in line with Him. Let's kneel for prayer.